Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
For this two-hour pleasure cruise, where unfortunately we still have 953 days, 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 16 seconds left of this godforsaken Obama nightmare. And then we got to go to work. We got to unscrew all of this. But until then, we must remain dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. Now, remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program today? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. You know it as well as I do. As long as there's one stinking liberal on planet Earth, it's a very, very, very busy news day. Well, again, today is no exception. So in order to combat that, we must lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway. Officially underway and headed out to sea. Bosun mate, shift colors. Okay, before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, which I don't know where the hell we're going to end up if we ever get to the scuttlebutt of the day, but the Bay State Children's Advocates, have conceded. They've conceded now. Justina Pelletier should be returned to their family. Really? Well, they've conceded. What do you mean conceded? Then, you know, the question begs, and then that's the first thing that popped into my mind. And, of course, it did with the father as well. But I think I got that in here somewhere. But if I don't, I'm going to give it to you now. If they've now conceded, well, then why did they take her to begin with? Which completely, as far as I'm concerned, completely undermines everything that they did, which they just now admitted that they illegally stole this girl. For what? Oh, that's right. Bonus money. They're stealing your children so they can not only have a job, but then they can get a bonus. And this is what happened. Well, now finally, the Bay State Children's Advocates have now conceded that Justina Pelletier should finally be returned to her family. Well, yeah. Well, they finally took her out of the psych ward. She was in that psych ward. Guess how long? That's right. 10 months. Not 10 weeks, 10 days, 10 hours. 10 months. Locked in a room by herself. No medical attention. No physical attention. Other than to be ridiculed, and God only knows what they did to her. If they did give her any medication, what was that medication? What were they doing with her? Well, she was a test subject. We know that. And the sad thing about it is she's not the only one. There are literally thousands, more than likely tens or, again, more than likely hundreds of thousands. God help us if we are in the millions. Could we be? Yeah. Yeah. Could be. So once we finally get her home, well, now we've got to do some work. We've got governors. This Governor Patrick there in Massachusetts, this worthless worm. You've got that Judge Johnston, whatever the hell his stupid name is. You've got all these people, psychiatrists, or psychologists, whatever that Bongiorno, whatever the hell her stupid name is. And that little punk ass 7 months out of medical school is going to get in a little pissing contest with the father who's known this girl, let's see, well, she was 14 when she was there, so her entire life. These guys, the Pelletiers, take their daughter to a doctor, and the doctor says, you know what, I've done everything I can, and now she's got a bellyache, so let's get her over there to see this Dr. Flores, which is a doctor that has treated her before, had kind of a history. So they arrive, and they took her by ambulance. Well, they come into the ambulance, and when you come in by ambulance, you have to go into the emergency room. Well, the little punk ass was, I guess, on shift. Decided to get a little bit of an attitude because he remembered, oh, that's right, that psychologist friend of mine said I can get a kickback. I can get a little bonus. I can get some extra money if I bring her kids. Okay. So they decide what is medical neglect. And they take the kid under that premise. So they take Justina Pelletier under the premise now of medical neglect by the parents. So they throw her in a psych room by herself. A room by herself. Who needs medical attention? She doesn't need to be caged up like an animal. It's not in her head. It's in her stomach. And they're doing this to a lot of children. So, yeah, I'm glad that she's finally getting home. But I still want to know what the hell's going to happen with the rest of these children. This is an epidemic. This ain't going away. This ain't going away until we stand up and do something. Finally, we're, even though we stood up and did something and complained about the VA, do they have a doctor yet? Oh, that's right. We're too busy trying to figure out how to spin the story because we've got a midterm election coming up. But we've concluded that it's systemic. Okay, it doesn't take too many brain cells to figure that one out. Well, what are you doing to fix the problem? And you see, the problem is maybe you don't know the problem. Well, let me tell you what the problem is. The problem is you have veterans. Bunches of them. Too many of them. What the actual number is, we don't really know. And the number that they do give us, do we believe it? I can't. I'm sure it's a roundabout number somewhere. But the problem is these vets still do not have a doctor, which is the problem. I don't understand why these vets can't automatically just, boom, get a doctor. We can find doctors. We can find doctors' places. We can find them. We can ship them in, we can ship them out, we can find doctors that will take care of these people. Why are there not centers set up? You know you need the extra room. Okay, well then find a place that's big enough to house a bunch of things and turn it into an extension of the hospital, just at a different location. People that you can handle that are away from there, they don't need as much medical attention or whatever, and you know, you have whatever you need to have there. But the point is, these vets need to get a doctor. And I don't care if they're vets or not. This doesn't matter to me. The fact is, they're people. These are human beings, man. These children that they are kidnapping. You can't take your child into an emergency room anymore. I mean, a kid gets his, you know, breaks a finger, an arm, a leg, or whatever, gets cut up, bruised up. Kids are going to get hurt. We were always getting hurt. It's part of being a kid. If you don't get hurt, you don't learn. Well, they can construe that as, well, you know, parent neglect and parent abuse and child abuse and all this abuse and all that. I mean, somebody sees a dollar sign. That's why those vets were put on that list, because people saw dollar signs. If I've got too many people here and I'm not getting the treatment, well, then I'm not going to get that bonus. And I promised my wife that I was going to put in a pool. She has been looking so forward to this pool. She wants one of those, you know, kind of a deck kind of a thing, and then it's got, you know, a barbecue, an outdoor barbecue pit and that kind of stuff to go along with the pool. She's got to have that. And I got to please the little woman, so I'm going to have to doctor up these books just so I don't get in trouble at home. And I don't get in trouble at the VA. You don't get my bosses upset at me because no one's getting help. Oh, hell. Bonus is important to me. I've got to have it. So I'll just take these people over here, put them on this list over here, and then you just give me this list. And I'll file it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing this stuff under your nose. Thank God for that internet. Thank God for the internet. Really, what's going on? This stuff has been going on for a long time. What's been going on with, if I can ever shut up long enough to get to the scuttlebutt of the day, with what's going on with that immigration? I mean, that's a mess, man. I mean, that's a mess. That's a big, big mess. That's a dangerous mess. It is national security. It is public safety. It's a mess. Financially, it's a mess. Everything about it is a mess. These inhumane conditions, it's a mess. fact that God knows how many of them are bringing all different kinds of diseases they got, not only from their country, but along the way, all through Central America, all up and through Mexico. God only knows what they picked up, bringing that in. Everybody else is now getting it. The Border Patrol are like, hey, wait a minute, man. I don't want to be around these diseases. Can you blame them? No. But we keep bringing them in. We're encouraging it. Come on in. Come on. Meanwhile, we still have over 92 million of our people, Americans, out of work. And we want to keep bringing more and more immigrants in here. Now, I do understand. Okay. Their countries, okay. They've got nothing over there. They want to come over here for all the right reasons. I mean, look, I can understand it. I can dig it. I can dig it. But if you're going to do it, you need some kind of legitimate plan in place. And they can't just start coming over here in droves, taking advantage of our laws, of our system for us, Americans, not for them. We can't do that in their country. We're the only country that allows this. We're the only ones that does this. And why are we doing it? Well, simply to break the bank, man. Break the system. That's the whole point. You crash and burn the entire system, and then the government can just swoop on in, take control. That's how they get you. They get you here, get you there. They nickel and dime you until there's hardly anything left. Then they swoop in and scoop you up. You got nothing left to fight back. So what are you going to do? Well, you're not going to do very much. The whole system is blown up. And now they got to swoop in and fix the mess when they're the ones who created it. Why do we keep allowing this government to try to fix a mess that they created? The government should do very little. I'm sorry, but with this Constitution, if you read it, I got it in my hand right here, right now. It never goes anywhere without me. I got pocket constitutions. I got everything. But if you read it, it very simply outlines how the government is to operate. This government this Congress should not be in session as many times as they are. They don't need to be in session. They don't need to pass laws just to say they pass laws. Dingbat, that idiot. Oh my God. That stupid Nancy Pelosi. Just thinking about that woman just makes the air stupid. She makes everything about you stupid. She makes everything about everything stupid. She makes stupid stupid. Oh, now I forgot what the hell I was talking about with her. See, this is the matter with these people. This is what they do. They make you stupid. You can't even talk about that Nancy Pelosi without just getting stupid. We don't need these kinds of people in office anymore. And thank God that Eric Cantor got beat. Good. I was on my show last night. I turned on the stupid television. Watching that Sean Hannity. And he had it on. And I was like, good. 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 Virginia, you should have woke up a little bit before you voted for that governor. Now, I do know that they probably had a lot of shenanigans going on. And that election made it a little difficult because they stole a lot of votes. Don't tell me that they didn't. I don't trust that Terry McAuliffe for nothing. But you should have got a lot more people out there. You should have been able to beat them. In West Virginia, well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with you. And all your coal mines are going to go. What are you going to do? Where are you going to find a job? What are you going to do now? What industry are you going to go into? Well, there's nothing left. And those that are left are now taken by illegal immigrants, including those that have committed murder. child molestation, rape. They deserve a job before you. I mean, you're just an American citizen. You're nothing. You're a zero. You're a hater. You're white. You're a loser. You don't rights. You don't get rights. No, we give you the rights that we give you, if we decide to give it to you. Well, we are at a breaking point in this country. Something is going to burst. Something's going to snap. What kept this Mr. Pelletier from actually blowing a gasket? I don't know. I'm sure he did get, you know, rather, you know, angry. But I would have lost it. I would still be in jail. I would be in jail on assault. And I certainly hope that Mr. Pelletier, you're not listening, but if you are, I certainly hope that when you finally get her home, that you sue the living hell out of these people. And you've got a very good case. You can't just take people just so you can get a bonus. You're stealing kids. She's 14. She's going to be 16 coming up here pretty soon. Well, the advocates have finally conceded that Justina, you know, should go home. Well, according to the sources close to the case, this idiot judge, I got no respect for this guy. None. Zero. Nothing. You've done a bad job, judge. If you had a decent governor, you'd be off the bench. According to sources close to the case, Judge Johnston issued a June 13th deadline for all paperwork to be filed and indicated a ruling will be made on or before June 20th. Today's the 11th. No, you need to do a ruling yesterday. Actually, 2 years ago, when you already made the ruling. Remember when you said that she could go home? And then you didn't follow it up. You didn't. I mean, the president goes out and makes all these laws and then doesn't follow them. Judges now. They go out and they give out all these orders. Okay, here's this, here's that, here's all the sentences, but you don't have to follow it. What the hell's the point? Well, I have no idea. A judge gives an order. If you're a judge and you go out of your way to give an order, that's why you're there. That's your job. That's what you have to do. It's not really going out of your way, but that's what you do. You give an order, and nobody follows it, and you don't see to it that it is followed. Then several months later, then you come back, and instead of siding with the people who wanted it followed, the family, so they can get their daughter home, you side with the very people who have kidnapped their daughter. So that tells me right now that the judge now is complicit. And I know I totally murderate the English language, so if I mispronounce a word, that's because, one, I have a broken left-handed tongue, and second, some words I just can't simply speak. But is this judge now on the take? Is he getting a piece of the pie, too? And you know what that pie is? That's taxpayer dollars. This psychologist. Children, and they put them in these test subjects, you know, these tests, which is fine if they're like medical tests, like say you got some kind of weird, wacky disease that you can't figure out what the hell to do, but you got people that, oh, you know, maybe we might be able to do something here. There's nothing wrong with going into those kinds of tests. Last resort, why not? You know, you got a last resort, hey, figure, fine, screw it. I'll do it, all right. But that's not what this is. They're taking children that don't belong in their tests. They're taking children away from their parents that don't belong taken away from their parents. And those that do are, well, left with their parents. I guess they can't make as much money off of them. I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea what's going on in these people's heads. Not at all. I don't think they do. But Mr. Staver, who is the family's attorney, claims that the DCF, which is the Department of Children and Families, which that entire DCF, that needs to be not only completely overhauled, but there needs to be a serious FBI investigation in there. Why isn't there? Why is there not the FBI investigating what happened in the VA? Why are the Marines now not invading Mexico and taking out one of their boys out of that jail? We can't seem to get the president to get on the horn. He can call Benjamin Netanyahu for 2.5 hours and have a conversation with him, trying to kiss and make up, when our embassy's on fire, our can't find the ambassador. Whole bunch of other people are dying and getting shot out with mortars and machine guns and fire. Then we find out that the reason why they didn't know where the ambassador was, well, because he was getting raped and cattle prodded and burnt and tortured. That's why they couldn't find him. Instead of the president being down in the Situation Room, where is he? Well, he goes up to eat. And then gets on the phone. Benjamin Netanyahu. You need to be on the phone with Benjamin Netanyahu. And I got nothing against Benjamin Netanyahu. But my God, I'm pretty sure you already dissed him once. Pretty sure you can diss him again. Hey, Benny. You know, I didn't really mean to diss you the first time, and I really don't mean to diss you this time. However, we've got our embassy on fire. It's being attacked by a whole bunch of Al-Qaeda guys, and they can't find the ambassador. They don't know where he's at. A bunch of people are dying, and, you know, I gotta go. He probably didn't even mention it. And if he did, I mean, you would think that Netanyahu would say, well, get your ass down to the Situation Room. But once he finally finished that phone call, after he stuffed his fat face, got his belly full, goes outside, smokes a couple cigarettes, he sends Valerie Goebbels down there to the Situation Room, an advisor, not an elected official, someone that, you know, had experience and knows what the hell they're doing. Not a general, not anybody, but Valerie Goebbels, an advisor. She goes down there to the Situation Room, and does she send any troops? Does she send anybody down there? It's been almost 3 hours now when Valerie Goebbels shows up to the Situation Room. 3 hours. Close to it anywhere. Anywhere from 2.5 to 3 hours. From the time that the president got the word that the embassy was on fire, it was being attacked, and we can't find the ambassador. Don't know where he's at. I have no idea. Bunch of people are dying, blowing up. We're being attacked. Almost 3 hours. 2.5 to 3 hours. Does he go into the Situation Room at that point? No. We don't know where he went. You see, because we have the most transparent administration in American political history. That's why we don't have all the information. Because they're so transparent. But Valerie Goebbels goes down there. She's in charge. Instead of sending troops to go save these people, she gets on the horn with YouTube so they can already begin the spin. And they got another little punk ass. How old was this kid? The dude. The dude guy, well, he was probably, what, 19, 20? I mean, what the hell are they allowing children into the Situation Room for? Why? I mean, the guy looks like Howdy friggin' Doody, man. I'm sorry, Howdy, but you can't come in here. This is for the adults. There's a, you know, set of monkey bars outside. Just go over there. Yeah, here's a lollipop. You'll suck on that for a while. I mean, what the hell? And they weren't concerned with sending any help. They were concerned on how to save the president. How to fix this mess that we're in. Oh, the mess that they're in. Oh, that's right. They said that Al-Qaeda was on the run. Looks like they weren't. Well, they were on the run. They were running straight to our embassy. Now we let five of the worst men on planet Earth out of jail so they could re-enter the battlefield. And they don't need to be on Afghan soil to be in the battlefield. They've got Command Central right there in Qatar. They're back in the war. Look at Iraq. Iraq now. Blown up. Iraq. Taken over by Al-Qaeda. Now, you can argue why we went in there. Should we have gone in there or not? You can argue that till doomsday. I have my opinions on it. But once we got in there, I mean, if you're going to go into something like that, you need the commitment that you don't leave until the job is done. Well, we didn't leave when the job was not done. The job's never going to be done. So really what the decision is to do, I don't know. I don't know what the real decision is. But when we're leaving Afghanistan, yeah, the Taliban's coming back. They're not going anywhere. They're getting bigger. So to fight the war on terror now, I guess, we're going to have to put our troops on the borders, man. What the hell's going on down there? Well, there are a lot of people that want to come over here and they want to do us harm. And this president is facilitating it. He's allowing it. And now he's put a target on every single one of our soldiers' back and their front and their top and their bottom and their side. Kidnap me. I mean, all you have to do is pick any one of these scandals. And again, these are not blue-stained dress scandals. These are real, real scandals. People's lives have been lost. People's livelihoods have been lost. People's quality of life have been lowered. Well, getting back to Justina Pelletier, good God almighty, I knew we were going to blast off into Deep Space Nine today. I knew it. But the attorney, Mr. Staver, claims what I just said earlier, that the DCS confession completely undercuts their argument. Well, of course it does. But they had no choice. They had a lot of public resistance, and they had a lot of pressure. No thanks really to the media. I mean, they did report a little bit of it, you know, and then they got boring. She's just not, you know, she's not a cow. She's not very interesting. She's not a wind farm. It's not very interesting. She's a human. And so were those veterans. Why are they put on a list? We still don't know. We still don't know why, knowing all of this information, for how long has it been now since this story broke, since the whole nation knew? How long has that been? A couple of months? Okay, why have these veterans not seen a doctor in 2 months? How difficult is it to find a doctor? You can find a doctor. I'm pretty sure you can find some doctors that'll see them for free. But the point is, why are these vets not in front of a doctor? You know what the problem is? The problem is that they don't have a doctor. So instead of trying to finger point and figure out, oh, well, it's systemic. Oh, so that means that you can't fix the problem because it's systemic? What does that mean? I don't care how systemic it is. If I'm an underling and my boss comes up and says, you need to put the, you know, a certain amount of these people on a secret list over here, which means they're not going to get any help. And if you do that, okay, you're guilty. I'm sorry, but those people, anybody who put any name on a list, any supervisor who knew about it and allowed it, tried for either attempted murder or and or murder, depending on who they put on a list and if they're still alive. Why is the FBI not in there investigating? Oh, well, they got an internal investigation, which means they go in and they start destroying a whole bunch of files and cleaning the place up a little bit, making it, you know, covering up all the evidence. See, because they don't want to get caught. Nobody wants to take accountability. That's what too much government does. And they can get away with it. And they continue to get away with it. That's how they've been able to continue to steal your children. And they've been doing this, well, for a long time. This is not new. Going back in the 80s, probably 70s, definitely in the 80s. There were problems in the 80s, so it had to have been going on before that. But once we get this girl home, we definitely need to start getting the rest of these kids home. I'm not saying every single one of them, but the houses that they have, they don't get the care that they need. I know they're in a group home, fine and all, blah, 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 blah. But some of these homes, and there's too many of them. I mean, they're beating the kids. These kids are getting beat by the other kids. I mean, you need to have a lot more supervision for these kids. And they just turn up to be little criminals. They don't know any different. So if we're really going to take care of these kids, let's start taking care of them. We got to start taking care of humanity. I mean, people. Knowing full well what you're doing to people. Okay, that's not humane. That's not humane. We need to take a look at these people. They're not for us. People are people. You can't own a people. But people think they can. And unfortunately, they do. Well, I'm going to believe it when I see it. I know that there's a hearing supposed to be no later than the 20th. Oh, well, that's ridiculous. Why can't you go in there and just do it? You've already got the stupid... DCF saying, okay, fine, we conceded. She can go home. Mission complete. We solved her problem. She's getting better now. They'll come out and say something like that. Trying to cover their butt. These people make me sick. I'm sorry, but stealing kids is kidnapping. I can't go out and steal a kid. Teenager. Guess what happens to me? Well, I'd go to jail. For a long time, and rightly so, and I should. Well, hopefully she gets home and gets home soon. And Mr. Pelletier, I'm just going to say this, and then we're going to move on to the scuttlebutt of the day, otherwise we'll never get nothing done. I certainly hope, Mr. Pelletier, that you sue the living pants off of these people. They deserve it. There's no excuse what they did to your daughter. None whatsoever. Absolutely not. All right, before I get in the scuttlebutt of the day here, it looks like I got my brother calling on the phone here. Are you there?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
You talking to me? Are you talking to me? Yeah, I'm here. Gotcha. About time. I called you three stinking times.
I'm busy.
I get it. So am I. But
well,
I took time out of my day.
Sometimes I can't see the board. I'm looking at all kinds of different stuff. I got all kinds of stuff.
I'm not condemning you. I'm not condemning you for it. I just couldn't get a hold of you. So listen, listen. I heard your story about the poor girl.
Yeah.
Hold on just a second.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
What are you doing?
None of your business. None of your business. Okay. I heard the story about the poor girl. Just think about
it.
It
is my business. You got 4 hours of dead air on here. What do you mean none of my business?
I was drinking a beer, all right?
Oh, God.
Okay, regardless, here's what happened. Just think about this with the child protection guys that know nothing, obviously, about what really happens in people's homes and so on and so forth. If we, let's just say you and I grew up today in the 2000s somewhere. Think about poor mom, what she would have had to go through. With all of our bloods and accidents and...
she'd have been in jail for all that.
I know. Are you kidding me?
And then, you know, we used to ride...
the screen door, you falling off the hammock, because you're a clod, so you did most of the damage. But...
Well, I mean, riding in the back of the pickup all the time, and then Carl eating banana, almost falling out of the truck. Remember that? Hold on to one hand, help! And,
Forgot about that one. That was a brilliant one. I remember you in the hammock, though. That was funny.
That hurt bad.
Oh, it had to have. But just think about it. Mom, she'd still be sitting in prison today.
You know? Then it got to the point where we didn't go into the emergency room anymore because it's, you know, why? Just, it's, you know, rub some
well,
dirt
no, mom,
on it.
Mom always bandaged this. She took care of it at home.
No, I know, but I mean, it got to the point where we could just do it ourselves. You know, it just got...
Yeah.
You know, didn't need to be going into the emergency room every 5 minutes.
No. And we would have had to have been most of the time, every summer, specifically.
Well, the first time I ever got stitches, I was 5, and I took that big saw.
That's when you about cut your hand or finger off, right?
Yeah.
With the saw?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and hit the wood as opposed to saw it.
Well, no, because I wanted to get a groove, you idiot. And the saw was too big.
No, you're the idiot because I didn't have stitches. So that makes you the idiot.
Well, I was 5 years old, and the saw was huge. And it was a big block. It was a big block, and I couldn't get the groove in there. So I started smacking it to try to get a groove, and, well, I smacked my hand.
Well, hey, the hell is my finger doing here?
I remember looking at it and see all the different stuff in there, but I mean, then, you know, nowadays, mom would have to go to jail and try to explain.
Well, mom would have to explain what happened. The hammock incident, she would have had to explain what happened. The bowl, I remember you hitting the basketball with the baseball bat and it bouncing back and knocking your eyeballs out.
Well, that was it.
She would have had to explain that one.
No, that was at school. So the school would had to explain it, and then
At home.
No, it wasn't.
You were not senseless. That was at home.
Kurt, it was at school, and I ruined one of my favorite shirts. It had number 12 on it, and I had to go to the next day. We had that picnic for the patrols. So I know where it was at.
I know where it was at. All right, doesn't matter. Mom would have had to explain that. She would have had to explain just about everything. Your face through the glass door in front.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that. Yeah.
But we were only 2 and 3, well, a little bit older, but not much.
Well, me and Carl, we were climbing up the apple tree up there. We were jumping off. We were trying to break our arm because everybody had a cast. There was a lot of people with casts, and that's back with the old plaster casts, and people would sign, you know, the cast. So me and Carl thought it would be
kind of a cool thing,
you know, to have a cast and have people sign it. So we tried, you know, jumping out of the tree, trying to break our arm. And
Carl and I jumped off the bunk bed, too, with a Glad bag. I don't remember if it was him or me that tripped over the the railing that went flat on the floor, hardwood floor.
Wow.
Somebody was damaged that time. I don't remember if it was him or me. But see, my point is, come on. Kids do stupid, and they get sick. You know, take care of them. Quit, blaming the parents because the kid got sick. It's not all...
That's not what it was. That was about.
Well, they took her away from him. They took the kid away, so they're kind of blaming the freaking parents, right? Because they didn't take care of it properly.
No, they only used that as an excuse to take the girl to put her in a test.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that noise?
If crap like that didn't exist, they put noise.
It's a real scratchy, weird noise.
That's probably your flagellations. I don't know. There's no noise here.
Well.
Anyways, I listened to you for a good 20 minutes. You wouldn't answer me, so. Got on there. Got a good story you need to look up. It's kind of funny. That's why I called you in the first place. A guy in Mercer County, Washington, tried to outrun the police for 2 hours, 18-mile-an-hour race is what it was, on a lawn tractor.
Wow. That, if they can't catch with the lawn tractor, they don't deserve to, catch anybody.
It's just, that is funny, though, isn't it, huh?
Well, the Keystone Cops, I guess. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, it's just funny to hear. I thought you might get a kick out of it. You'll look it up, and you'll get the rest of the story and probably share it on the radio. That's fine, because I don't have it all.
I'll find it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, anyways, that was it. I'm kind of disappointed in our system with the poor girl.
Well, look, they do it to a lot of kids. This is not, and they use it for tests. God only knows what they're doing to these kids, what kind of tests they're actually going through, what kind of medication. She was seeing, she had all this medication. She was taking these vitamins. She was able to walk. She was able to talk. She went to a special school. She couldn't go to a regular school. But she was able to ice skate. She was able to do a lot of things. Well, they took away that medication. They took that away. She was stuck in a psych room by herself, a room, a dark room by herself, left alone. They're for 10 months.
Well, every story I hear about child protective custody things, those people, is just nonsense. They drive me nuts more than even your president. Just backward stuff.
Well, now I got to get into illegal immigration. We got all kinds of stuff going on with this illegal immigration.
Don't get me going on that because I'll be here forever.
I got a whole bunch going on here, so I got
to... Yeah, no, listen, I just tried to get with you. You'll look up that story, and you'll find it funny, and you'll share it with the rest of the crowd.
Well, we finally stopped raining today, so that's a good thing.
No, we don't have rain. It never rains in Washington.
Yeah, no, never rains in Washington. Never rains in California. When it pours, it
that's a good
pours.
Song, too.
Yeah, that's an old
one. All right, Pete, I'll let you go. I'm busy.
All right. See you later. All right. Let's get in here now. This illegal immigration. Right now, there is an absolute flood of people coming across that border. There's estimates over 1,000 illegal immigrants a day crossing into Texas. I would say the number, I believe at least 1,000. But coming across the border every day, I'd say it's probably a lot more than that. It doesn't really matter what the number is. We've got an influx of people coming across the border that we can't house them. We got nothing. What are we going to do with them? We're encouraging these people to take this trek, to put their lives in further danger, into a room with a whole bunch of diseased up people. They don't like the food. I guess the food's not good enough for them. They're all getting sick. Well, and they don't like the flour tortillas. They like the corn tortillas. whatever, they're throwing the burritos or whatever they're feeding them, they're throwing them in the trash because, just like Michelle Obama's lunches, the kids that are getting it for free, they're throwing it away. It's garbage. They can't eat it. Maybe that's what they're serving them down there. But if you want to stop this mess, and now Obama, he's got military bases. He's got no room to put these people, so now he's got military bases opening up for illegal aliens. Well, Dawn Ray, which I have a cousin. Her name is Dawn Ray, the D-A-W-A-N. But this is Dawn, short for Donald, and his last name is Ray. Dawn Ray, the executive director of the Texas Border Sheriff's Coalition, asked, how the hell do you prepare for that? You can't have an influx of people like that without having an impact. I think we saw that after Katrina. It's relocation services that are really taking place. It's not just temporarily housing them. They're relocating them. They're bringing them over here. Where's this money coming from? Well, it's coming from you. Every time you look at your tax bill, well, it goes up. Every time you go out and buy a tank of gas, well, it goes up. Go to the supermarket. Well, everything goes up. They're nickeling and diming you, and from here to there to everywhere. And they can't stop. Well, they need these programs. Well, why? Well, because we need to get them so we can win the midterms. They're not interested in solving the problem. They're not interested in getting the people the care that they need. They're not interested in doing any humanitarian missions. They're in to win another election. Now, what they're doing to these illegal aliens that are crossing over here, they're not doing them really any favors. They're putting their lives in more danger. They're putting the American people's lives in danger. They're putting the country, its sovereignty, in danger. And for what? So they can win an election. You people coming over here, you're not coming over here to be citizens. You're coming over here to be votes. I really wish you people would understand that. I know a lot of you want to come over here, a lot of you young mothers, and you want to come over here. And you want to have a better life for you and your children. Look, we get it. I get it. I understand it. And I respect your courage for making that trek. I respect my ancestors' courage, my great-grandparents, my brother, my grandparents' brothers and sisters that came over here from the old country. I respect that courage, and I do. The problem is you're not being brought over here to be a citizen. They're taking advantage of you. They're not helping you like you think they're helping you. They're actually hurting this country. So it's going to be a point, well, you're going to have absolutely nothing. They're doing you more harm than good. I wish somebody would tell these people this. And you hate to say, it serves them right, because those are kids. These are, babies and little kids. I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, what the hell do you do? Well, here's what you do. You stop encouraging it. And you patrol the border. We don't need another immigration bill. We've already got one. It used to work. You want to come over here? Well, then you come over here. Do the proper this and proper that, and you take a test, and you pledge allegiance, and blah, 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 blah. Well, now, no. you illegally cross the border and you demand that the government simply give you citizenship. And before you're a citizen, well, you get health care and welfare and this care and that care and blah, 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 blah. And you do not have to speak English. And if somebody says that you must learn it, well, that's racist. And that person must be removed from society and thrown in jail. You have that many people in one place, Mr. Ray continues. You have the potential for illness that could spread, and that could have an impact on the local community. Well, it already has. And it's only going to get worse. But officials with the National Border Patrol Union say, well, no, conditions at the detention facilities, they're improving. Well, improving, but are they good? Well, no, they're improving. Well, then what does that mean? What does that mean? Improving. Is the problem solved? Yes or no? Well, we're working on it. Well, it's not done then. Call me when it's improved and the job is done. Sean Moran, the vice president of the National Border Patrol Council, says, well, I talked to the local union president there yesterday, and he told me that the conditions are getting better now that they have Coast Guard and FEMA doctors in place, and they're monitoring everyone's health. Really? So maybe that's how we get these veterans a doctor. We ship them all across the border into Mexico, and you tell them to cross the border back into the United States. As an illegal alien, you start rattling off some kind of language. They don't know what the hell you're saying. Damn sure they give you a doctor. Why do these people, these illegal aliens now, coming over here, breaking our laws, taking advantage of our system, why do they get a doctor from the Coast Guard and FEMA? Why do they get a doctor and our veterans don't? I'm sorry, but I got a problem with that. Now, look, I'm not trying to deprive these people coming over here of medical attention. What I'm merely pointing out that why would these people rate over, and I don't mean to use that rate over, a people's a people. It doesn't matter. Well, they get medical attention. That's the point I'm trying to make. But why would an illegal alien get a doctor before a veteran does? That's the point that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand that one. How did we get to this point? How did we get here in this country? Why are we here? I want to go back. Well, after being released in Arizona, and they don't even know what the hell to do. They got so many people, they don't even know where to put them. They got military bases open. They're shipping them into Arizona. They're shipping them over here. They're shipping them over there. Anywhere and everywhere where they can find a spot to ship them. They ship them back home. And stop working with the governments down there, Central America and Mexico, telling them to encourage their people to come over here. Why don't you do that? Do you not care, Mr. President? Do you not care about the welfare of this country? Who's getting the welfare in this country? And I don't mean, food stamps and that. Who's getting the welfare? Is it the people coming over here with no facilities, nothing, being told a lie, stuck in a room with a whole bunch of people with a whole bunch of different diseases? Is that promoting general welfare for anybody? and then you let them out, and now they're free to roam the streets and spread more diseases to the local communities? How is that promoting the general welfare? Well, it's not. How is this providing common defense? God only knows the people that are coming over here. I don't buy this nonsense that only, you know, the good, wholesome, you know, hardworking young mothers coming over here with their kids and give them a better life, you know, their widows and blah, 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 blah. Break out the violins. Here we go. We don't know who's crossing the border. My God in heaven. Again, just the preamble of what this president has done, this entire administration, this government, what they have done, just to the preamble of this Constitution, is enough to impeach them all. Wouldn't that be nice? Everybody in government, from the stinking dog catcher all the way up to the president, all fired, done, gone. Supreme Court, fired. Congress, fired. All of you, fired. Start over. Well, that's a dream. It's never going to happen. But we can do some things internally. We don't really need to go to that extreme. We don't need to pass any more laws. We don't need another immigration bill. And we certainly do not need amnesty. We need to simply follow the rules that we already have. We're going to start with following the Constitution. And then we're going to start with following all the other laws that have been passed. We don't need another law. And I'm sick and tired of people bringing up laws that force the government to follow the Constitution. That doesn't make any sense to me, but that's what they're having to do. I understand the principle behind it. I get it, because you know the president isn't following the Constitution, so you're trying to force him to. So you have to pass a law that says all presidents must follow the Constitution, which we already know that there's an oath in the Constitution. I do believe it's Article 2. I'm going to go ahead and double-ass-check just to make sure, because sometimes, you know, I do screw things up. Right, there it is. Bada boom, bada bing. You don't need to pass another law. You've already got the law in the book. When you raise your right hand and you take that oath to uphold and defend the United States Constitution, well, I've had to take that same oath. Anybody who's ever joined the military, including the Coast Guard, has to take that oath. Police officers, they make their, you know, young recruits, they make them take an oath to uphold and defend the United States Constitution. Well, that oath you take, that doesn't just last from the time that you're in your service. That's a lifetime oath. Far too many people have forgotten that they took it, or they don't know the rules. They don't realize that, you know, once you take it, that you have to follow that. It has to have some kind of meaning, some kind of purpose. Otherwise, why are you taking the oath? Well, they want to get that job because it's got good benefits. So just take the oath and, you know, don't worry about it. Oh, okay. After being released in Arizona, immigrant families were told to report to an Immigration and Customs Enforcement office within 15 days. Yeah, they're going to do that. But old Sheriff Arpaio, you remember him. He makes his prisoners wear pink stripes. He says, in our jails, we found that about 2,000 inmates in the past several months are in jail for several state crimes, but they're here illegally. And we found out that over and over again, they're being released to ICE and keep coming back. Well, of course they do. These guys are making a living at being fugitives. So that tells you either, he continues, they're either being let out the back door, which more than likely they are, or they're being deported and they still keep crossing the border. Well, that's probably true too, since we don't have any real border patrol. Now, the agents that they have, the Border Patrol can only do so much. They keep giving these numbers out there that they've increased Border Patrol. But that's not the amount of Border Patrol agents that they have. Okay, some of them are for this, some of them are for that, some of them are over here, but the actual guys down there on the field, with ICE, I'm not talking to Border Patrol, but ICE, they've only got, I think, like 5,000 that deal with immigration. They don't really work on the front lines. That's Border Patrol. They don't work on the front lines there. But with Border Patrol, I mean, they still don't have near as many people actually on that border as the government tells you. And they can only do so much. They need government support. Look, we can monitor that. We don't need a fence. I know, I get the idea. I understand. But we don't need the goddamn Great Wall of China down there. They'll find a way to get around it. It's a big waste of money. And you know the government will spend quadruple times the amount that they really should in the initial estimate. Is going to be ridiculously expensive. And it'll never get built. It'll never happen. It'll never get built. Then it'll get half built and somebody new will come into office and it'll never get completed. So why screw around with that? We don't have the money to do all these great and wonderful projects. I wish we did, but we don't. So let's follow the laws that we already have. We can police that border. If we need a few more agents to get down there to police, then so be it. We don't need them. We don't need people in the EPA, commando squadrons, Delta forces swooping out of trees in Chicken, Alaska, population 24, to test the gold miners' water. Them down at the border. We got the people in government. We don't need to hire any more people. We've got too many people in government. We need to use the people wisely, use our resources wisely, use our money wisely. But we don't. Because the object of the game is not to complete the mission, but to get that bonus. That's all it's about. Well, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson faced a whole bunch of tough questions from Congress today. Well, they weren't that tough. He agreed, however, with lawmakers that a wave of unaccompanied children crossing illegally into the United States constitutes a humanitarian crisis. Yeah. Yeah, and so does putting veterans on a secret list without getting any medical attention. That's a humanitarian crisis, too. But what they are doing to these people down there, yeah, it is a crisis. It is disgusting. You've seen the pictures. You don't need to see it in real life. You can imagine what it's like. Well, we're doing this. We're inviting these people to come over here and break our laws. And then we don't know what the hell to do with them. So we put them on buses and we put them on planes and we put them on trains and we ship them over to Arizona. We ship them into New Mexico. We ship them into California. From here, we ship them there. We need to ship them back home and stop inviting them to cross our borders and break our laws. You want to become a citizen? Okay, fine. But you must respect our laws, respect our people, respect our way of life. Respect us. You respect us, we will respect you. But don't come over here, complain about you don't like the flour tortillas, you don't like this, you don't like that. You don't like the fact that you can't automatically become a citizen. Well, you're not a citizen. I can't do that to your country. Nobody can do that to any country. You couldn't even do that to Liechtenstein. What do you think they'd do? Well, they'd definitely do something. Well, what are we doing? Well, we're making the problem worse. See, the Democrats are running out of votes. They need more people. Because the American voters they had, well, they all woke up. And people are waking up more and more and more and more and more every day. Everywhere you go, you're starting to see people here, right here in New York. Which is liberal as you can get. However, Long Island is nowhere near as liberal as you may think. There are a lot of liberals in Long Island. That is for sure. And me being in the theater, of course, the overwhelming vast majority of them are liberal. However, we do have a little club, a little secret club. We know who we are. And there is conservatism all over. People are sick of it. They've finally woken up and realized that this liberalism doesn't work. And as a matter of fact, I go to the supermarket today. And there was a lady out there. I don't know if she's listening tonight. She said she was, but if she is, she is. If she ain't, she ain't. But the point is, I go in there, and I had to get something. I had to get something real quick. I had to get something to eat, and I'm a terrible shopper. It takes me forever to buy something. I can't eat anything. I knew I needed coffee. That I needed. And I still forgot a whole bunch of other stuff. But anyway, she's out there in a little booth. And she's given away, I think it was $100, a shopping card for Walmart. So if you win, it's a lottery. You know, you put your name down there and your phone number. You don't need all the other stuff. And if you win, you get $100 worth of, I guess, food. I figure if I win, I'm just going to give it away to a family or a bunch of families, people that need it. That's what I figured I'd do with it. But I signed up, and I don't like doing that because I don't like having my name put on a list. And, you know, and you put your email down there. Forget about it, man. You got everybody. You know, we started talking, and I could tell right away, right when she said Montana, and then she said something about the gun laws, and I went right there. I'm looking at an American right here, right now. And we got started talking. Well, you know, Americans are starting to wake up. There's still a lot that are asleep. But more and more, you're starting to see it. It's not where it needs to be right now. It needs to be bigger, much bigger. We need more of it. Now, I was listening to the Radio Jihad earlier tonight, and they were talking about American Spring. And I know there's still a lot of people that, you know, I can't take that seriously. There's not enough people down there. Well, it's still going on down there. This American Spring ain't going away. You need to create your own American Spring. It doesn't matter what it is that you do. You have to fight somehow, some way. Even if it's just a tiny little thing, you have to do it and do it well, and you must win. There is no such word as lose. We do not fail. We win. And you can't get there unless you do it. And you got to win in the heart before you can win on the battlefield. You can't win on the battlefield and then win it in your heart. You have to have it in your mind and then in your heart. Body will follow just the way it works. It's a triangle, just the way it is. But we have to fight. Now, if this is the way that you don't like the way that these people are out there fighting American Spring, you don't like what they're doing, okay, fine. That's not your way of doing things. Okay, fine. You don't have to criticize them. You don't have to put them down. You don't have to join them. But you need to get off your ass. Turn off that Kim Kardashian show, put down that bag of Cheetos, and get out there and do something. It doesn't matter what it is. You got to fight, fight, fight. Somehow, some way, you've got to fight. Stop criticizing these people. Maybe if you went down there and supported them, just because there's not millions of people and you don't have all your rights and liberties and freedoms back overnight. Look, this fight ain't going away. We're not going to get our freedoms back overnight. It took quite a few years to get rid of them. Well, it's going to take quite a few more years to get them back. So the idea that you can just type in Google freedom and have it spit it out for you and here it is. Well, here's your freedom. But gee, thanks. I've been looking for it for a long time. Yeah, thanks. But no, it don't work that way. And once we do get our freedoms back, yes, we're going to have to continue that fight to preserve them so we don't lose them again. We never should have lost them in the first place. We took advantage of ourselves. And that's what happens. See, that's a lesson learned. But will we learn it? Well, we could. It all depends on if we will. Can we? Yeah, I got faith. I got faith in people. We can learn it. I just don't have any faith that we will do it. There's a difference between learning it and knowing it and then doing it. There's a big difference. A big difference. Well, I'm glad that Mr. Johnson agreed with the lawmakers that there is a humanitarian crisis that you people created, and we allowed them to create it. Well, now we're starting to wake up and find out this stuff ain't working. Now we're starting to say stuff. Well, we must understand that this mess that got created was because of us. We allowed it to happen. Oh, no, that'll never happen here. That'll never happen here. So we go out and we vote for more. And Bill O'Reilly, I hate to keep picking on him, but he still thinks that Nazism will never happen in the United States. For whatever reason, he's so obtuse he can't realize it's been here. It's been here for a while, Bill. Not for nothing. And damn near everything I talk about every night is dealing with Nazism. Nazism, you don't have to have lightning bolts on your collar and wearing brown shirts to be a Nazi. It's tyranny. That's Nazism. Socialism. It's the National Socialist Party. Tyranny. That's Nazism, Mr. O'Reilly. That's Nazism. And it is here. And it's getting bigger and bigger every day. Every one of these government agencies is another one of them just like the Nazi had. I mean, we got the EPA. You've got the EPA. The Environmental Protection Agency, they're making up their own laws. I got the Constitution right here, and I'm looking at it. And I looked at it again last night, too, and I couldn't find anywhere where it said EPA. On none of these pages anywhere. I even Googled it. Where does it say EPA in the United States Constitution? Google couldn't even figure it out. So if Google can't figure it out, well then, damn. But when you have the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, in order for them to test the water in Chicken, Alaska, population 24, they got gold miners up there. Basically just a handful of old guys out there trying to, you know, earn a living. Commando squadrons, Delta forces swooping in out of the trees in full body armor, machine guns, sidearms, tasers, sticks, complete body armor, riot gear, so they could test the water. And they say, wow, people get a little crazy. They bring out their guns and they shoot at us because we want to test the water. Well, maybe the way you treat them, maybe they're afraid of you. Maybe if you didn't give them a reason to defend themselves against you, maybe they wouldn't have to. BLM, they can come down. They can make own laws now, too. They can come down and start tasering pregnant women, throwing women down to the ground, kicking them, tasering them, hitting them, sending the dogs on them, shooting cattle from a helicopter. They said that they were in fear for their lives, so they're in a helicopter shooting the cattle. How can you be in fear for your life? The cows can't jump that high. You're sending a message. That's what it was. The message you sent, well, may not be the message that you thought you sent. But America stood up to you and sent you back home. And that fight will continue. That fight will continue. That fight ain't going nowhere. Harry Reid's not going to give up that fight that easy. No, no, no. Federal authorities say that their budgets to police the borders have been strained. Oh. Well, it's been strained because they're not using the money where they're supposed to use the money. Maybe if all these people who didn't deserve a bonus didn't get a bonus, maybe if you put more actual Border Patrol, actual Border Patrol officers down there, and a few executives got a few less bonuses in the year, I know there'd be a lot less swimming pools being put up and a lot less new cars being bought every year, but at least the taxpayers won't go broke. But will that happen? No. It's not their money. Why should they worry about it? Spend, 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 spend. And when you're out of money, well, you tax, 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 tax. And when you can't tax anymore, well, then you blame it on the Koch brothers. At the hearing, Alabama Republican Senator Jeff Sessions criticized the country's current policies and said it sent a signal to everyone in the world, come here by a certain age and you'll get amnesty. Well, that is exactly what they're doing. That is exactly what they're doing. These people actually look forward to being caught. Ports, they're actually waving down the federal helicopters. Here, arrest me. See, they think they're going to have this big welcoming committee. This laurel and hearty handshake. One report says at one point even people will have done, we already talked about that, in their home country south of the border, reports have been circulating that illegal immigrants, especially those with children, will be allowed to stay in the United States indefinitely. Well, see, yeah. The Democratic Party needs more voters. They're losing the Americans that were already over there in America, ones that were born and bred there, the, you know, actual citizens, coupled with all the other people that came over here legally, went through the right paperwork, went through the right this, they took their test, they have become citizens. Those people. Ms. Ramos said she decided to make the trek to the United States after hearing reports that parents would not be detained in the U.S. if they arrived with a child. ICE officials say that the immigrants are released as long as they can provide an address for their destination. Well, as long as you got an address. Well, do you think maybe they can just go to the phone book and pull out an address? Yeah, I'm going to go see my Aunt Tilly in Omaha. Oh, all right. Well, have fun. Well, let's go back to May of last year. We're going to go back in time here a little bit here. And we're going to see if we can't locate any warning signs. We have been warned. We've known of these problems. And we do know of a lot other problems. The problem is we don't fix them. Now, this problem that's been going on, and I can't leave this VA alone. What's going on with them boys not getting a doctor? We've known about this for a long time. We knew about it before Obama took office. He went out and he campaigned about the problems. Then he gets into office, and what does he do? He goes out there and hires somebody specifically to fix the specific actual problems that everybody knows that existed. But that doesn't happen. These people get bonuses. And the vets get put on a secret list so they don't get helped. Now the story broke. Boom, another scandal. Benghazi's getting too big, let's have another one. The VA's getting too big, okay, let's release the Taliban. Well, this one's going to get too big, then what? What's next? But we've known about these problems. We do know the problems. We just need to fix them. Still, after 2 months, I'm sorry, even after the moment, if you're the president of the United States, here's what you do. You got a pen. You've got a phone. I don't understand. You got that checkbook. You could write checks. You could do. You got a phone. If I had a pen and I had a phone and I was president of the United States and somebody came up to me and says, yeah, we got a problem with the VA, guess what? They got a whole bunch of them being put on the secret list, and guess what? They're not getting help, and they're dying. The thousands of them, tens of thousands, quite possibly hundreds of thousands. So here's what you do at that point. You don't get Valerie Goebbels in there to master up, the proper spin. The first thing you do is you get on the horn with a whole bunch of people and you say, we need to get doctors down here. We need to get these men to see them. The problem is the vets don't have a doctor. There's only one solution, and that's to get these vets in front of a doctor. Figure that out. I'm sorry, but you've got no business being in the position that you're in. You're an idiot. There's no excuse why there aren't doctors seeing these patients right now. But it's systemic. Okay, so what do we do? Well, we got to get a committee hearing together, and, we got to find that out. Then we got to get another inspector general to hold another internal investigation. Then we got to bring it forth another committee. Meanwhile, these vets are dying one by one. And they still don't have a doctor. And you think what's going on with those vets are not going to happen to you? Really? Well, welcome to Obamacare. What you're going to get. That's what you people voted for, all you sheeples out there.
Obama, 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 oh. Oh, Obama.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris Crane, last May, over a year ago, was on the Mark Levin show. He was the then president of the Union for the ICE agents. Whether he is still president or not, I don't know. I'm not a real big union guy. I understand that workers should have rights, and if they want to be represented by a certain group or union, okay, fine. But in order to go to work, you should not be forced to join something that you really don't want to join. It should not be mandatory. And if the union really is that good, that worth it, well then give me a reason to join you. But I do understand that workers do need to have some kind of protections, of course. Because if you don't, everybody needs protections. I didn't invent the human being. I just know how the bastards work. And if a human being is going to have an opportunity to tyrannize you, they're going to do it. They're going to take it. So you got to defend yourself, and you got to put things in place, things in motion. You got to stand up, and you got to say no. And if it means you're going to have to step on somebody's toes, maybe slap somebody across the face, all right. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. But we're never going to put an end to it until we put an end to this. And thank God Mr. Cantor lost his job. That's a good first step. Mr. Boehner should have been primaried. That didn't happen. Mr. McConnell should have been primaried. It didn't happen. Now the only way for them to lose is to bring in another Democrat, which is all we need. So we're stuck with them. Hopefully we can find a way to get Mr. Boehner out of the Speaker of House. This guy, come on. And what he's doing to that committee with Trey Gowdy, why has the president not been subpoenaed? That's my question. What is taking so long to get this going? We already know the questions we need to ask. But why has the president not been subpoenaed yet? That's the question I want to know. They'll never subpoena him. I hate to say it, and Mr. Gowdy, I'm on your side, man. I'm your ally. You need a civilian on your team? I'm your man. It's not that I don't really trust you. I don't trust the system. And the only person that you should subpoena for Benghazi is the president. Why, Mr. President, the very moment upon hearing that our ambassador has gone missing, our embassy's being attacked with mortar fire, machine gun, why would you go upstairs to eat? And then get on the phone for 2.5 hours to Benjamin Netanyahu. And then after that, we don't know. But we do know you sent one of your advisors, Valerie Goebbels, down there to the Situation Room to take charge, but she didn't send any help. She went on the phone with YouTube, getting the spin in motion. These people were not concerned with the safety of any of those men that were there, those that were injured. We don't know the total number of those injured, nor do we actually know the real total number of those that were killed. We got only the ones that they could talk about, and there were four. That's what I want to know. The president should have to answer for that. He should have to answer for Fast and Furious, IRS, the stimulus packages, Obamacare. The Taliban. I mean, the list goes, a VA. The list goes on and on and on. There's no excuse why those vets are in front of a doctor right now, right this very moment. None. And you could do it. You got a phone. Get on the phone. Say, hey, I'm the president. I got executive order privilege. I want some doctors in front of those vets, and I want them now. And whoever doesn't move fast enough is going to lose their job. Done. I don't get the problem. Oh, that's right. It doesn't benefit the Democrats. I'm sorry. I'll let you go back to sleep. Jerk. Well, Mr. Crane, who was then the president of the Union for ICE Agents, was telling his story on the Mark Levin Show on how the National ICE Council, President Barack Obama, God, I hate saying that, don't you? calling that guy president, I mean, just makes you sick. He's not a president. Presidents do not act the way you do, Mr. Satoru. We don't even know that's his real name. Is it Barack Obama? Is it Barry Satoru? Is it Joe Smucatelli? What is your name, sir? Well, that's right. We can't get your real birth certificate. I'd still like to know how he was able to travel to Pakistan in the 80s. How did you do that? Oh, that's right. You had an Indonesian passport. You were an Indonesian, not an American. And now you're the president. Maybe that's why he's so friendly with Al-Qaeda. Maybe that's why he's so friendly with the Mexican drug cartels. Is this guy a plant? I mean, I hate to say it. I know conspiracy theories, they can go crazy, but I mean, you have to wonder, is this guy some kind of a plant? Is he put in here on purpose to screw this country up? I mean, one could make a legitimate argument. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, definitely, but, one could construe the evidence. We'll start with Fast and Furious. First of all, we'll start with the stimulus package. That happened first. That was the first thing out of the box. That and Fast and Furious, they were on together. That stimulus package was almost $1 trillion, 800 and some odd billion, whatever the number is, given to his commie friends. It did not go to the American people. There were no shovel-ready jobs. That right there he should have been impeached for. Went to the union bosses. Went to the unions. Went to his friends. So they can open up these so-called green companies with they had no intention of conducting business. So they run the business into the ground, make it look all nice and nice. Once it runs into the ground, guess what? They get a multi-million dollar bonus check. Everybody with the bonuses. Bonus. Well, that money came out from you. That was your money. That was your money. This president took your money and handed it out to his friends. It's like me going up to Fort Knox, stealing all that money out of there and handing it out to my friends. He should have been impeached for that. And then you get Fast and Furious. Look, I mean, you can't even get American school kids to make a gun out of their fingers. And they got the police called. But yet you're going to take, you know, a whole bunch of weapons and put it in the hands of Mexican drug cartels. Some of these people have quotas on how many people they've got to kill per day. And you want to give these guys ammunition and weapons. All to make it look like American guns are bad and we have to take them away from the American citizen. Even though we do have a Second Amendment that says, shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. That infringed, maybe that's what the problem is. Maybe they don't understand what that word infringed means. Maybe it means something different in government ease. Maybe that's what it is. But see how I take it, shall not be infringed. Meaning you can't make any laws restricting it. Like they do in all these cities, New York, Chicago, all the places, Baltimore, all the places where they have a whole bunch of people being shot. I mean, if you look at it, here you have all these cities, all these places that you can't have a gun, but yet they have the most gun violence. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. It could be me. Because I'm an oddball. I'm a crazy person. I see things simply. And the simple thing to do is to find a doctor anywhere and put him in front of a vet. That's what needs to happen. Stop giving me goddamn speeches about it's systemic. I don't want any more tweets. I don't want any more speeches, no more comments, no more emails, no more nothings. I want action. I want to see these vets in front of a doctor. I don't want to see those people who took those vets and put them on these lists. I want to see them in front of a grand jury. And then I want to see them in a jail cell. They should be there for murder and attempted murder. That's exactly what it was. You can't get around it. If you're going to put somebody's name on a list, knowing full well they're not going to get any medical attention, and if they don't see a doctor, yeah, they will die. That's murder. That's murder. That's murder. Don't give me this crap, you're a government employee and you got a union. You can't blame me. It's systemic. Oh, really? It's systemic. The lack of humanity, that's systemic? Really? You didn't have enough into you that you couldn't say, wait a minute, boss, I'm not putting this person on this list. They're not going to get any medical attention. They're going to die. If you don't have enough in you, you don't have enough to tell your boss that, yeah, you deserve to go to jail. You don't deserve to be in society, not a society that I want you to be in. Not a society that I want to live in. What they did to these vets was absolutely ridiculous. What they're doing to our children, stealing them and using them as lab rats. And what they're doing to these people, they're encouraging them to come to the United States. They're not giving them a better life. They're making their life worse. In turn, they're also making the American people's life worse. Our lives are in danger. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be cold and callous, but before we can start helping anybody else, we've got to start helping ourselves first. I mean, we're not going to be any good to these people if we can't help ourselves. Right now, we're struggling. Unlike Hillary Clinton, oh, yeah, she struggled. Oh, we were dead broke and we struggled. Yeah, you eating mac and cheese every night there, Hillary, huh? Is that it? Please. Oh, well, you do know we were dead broke and we were in debt. You know, we had to have all these mortgages for all these houses. And Chelsea's education. Please. Hillary will never be president. I still think that, first of all, she's not competent. Obama knows that. What did she do as Secretary of State? I know I'm running out of time, and I didn't finish what I wanted to finish. But we'll go back, and what we don't finish tonight, we'll finish tomorrow, whatever. But Hillary Clinton, still, you can't say anything of what she's done. She has not done anything. What did she do as Secretary of State? Well, let's see. Iran got a nuclear program. North Korea's been kind of ornery. We've given the internet up and the whole Middle East up to Putin. Well, Putin's now expanding and getting the Soviet Union back together. He's trying to do that. Our embassy was attacked in Benghazi. We lost an ambassador and three other guys. And a whole bunch of other people were injured. Let's see, what other accomplishment has she done? She hasn't done anything. She was a figurehead. She's incompetent, and they know she's incompetent. Obama had her as Secretary of State only for a name, and that's it. He had all of these envoys doing her bidding. What did she do in the Middle East? Well, they destroyed Libya. Libya is a frickin' war zone. Iraq now. I mean, now we're going to get to this, but I mean, Iraq now, just today, was taken over, yesterday and today. Two of some of the biggest cities they've got there in Iraq, Tikrit and the other one, whatever it was. And that's Al-Qaeda. The same Al-Qaeda that is fighting for Syria. It's the Iraq and Syrian Al-Qaeda, which is the kind of Al-Qaeda that Obama wants to give weapons to. He wants to take your money and buy a whole bunch of weapons to put into their hands. So when they get done attacking Assad, they can use the leftovers to attack Americans. Or they can ship them over to Afghanistan and get the remaining troops that are still over there. The ones they don't kill, they'll just kidnap and get the rest of their buddies home. This president is putting this entire country deeper and deeper in danger every time he does anything. He gets up in the morning, and he's already put the country in danger. But Obama's new spin person now, this Josh, whatever the hell his last name is. I mean, I guess he's all right, but, you know, whatever. It's all spin. I used to love to watch these press briefings, but anymore, and Jay Carney's pathetic. This guy's going to be just as pathetic. But he does seem to have his talking points down pat. A little better, I think, than Jay Carney. But when asked to identify, Ed Henry wasn't going to give him any slack. Today, I think, was his first day. But when Ed Henry, he asked to identify foreign policy achievements that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton played a role in accomplishing, he said this.
Of important foreign policy accomplishments for which Secretary Clinton can rightly claim her share of the credit, I would put ending the war in Iraq, responsibly winding down the war in Afghanistan, and decimating and destroying core al-Qaeda, that those are a handful of accomplishments that certainly this president and this commander-in-chief are proud of, those are the kinds of accomplishments that Secretary Clinton can justifiably be proud of as well.
How can you be proud of a failed policy? How can you do that? How can you be proud of something that you failed? You ever screwed something up and been proud for it? God, I'm so proud that I screwed this up. I've never been proud of anything that I've screwed up, especially when it cost people's lives. As in regards to Iraq, well, we already know that Mosul, that was it. Mosul was taken, I think, yesterday. Tikrit was taken today. So there was no ending the war in Iraq. The war in Iraq is not over. We just left. You didn't end it. You just left the door open to continue it. You didn't end it. The war's not over. You didn't end anything. You just left. That's not ending anything. That's, you know, it's like the Yankees down by 10 in the eighth inning and they just leave the ballpark. Say, screw it. Not going to win anyway. Can't find anybody that can hit. Pitcher's arms are wore out. Might as well just leave. Leave the ballpark. But the war in Iraq is not over. We just left. Not to mention that Obama failed to secure a status of forces agreement. Failed to do so. He didn't need to. He wanted to keep people in there, but he didn't have enough to argue his point because he didn't understand his point. That's the biggest one. He didn't understand the point. And he wanted to get out of there. He didn't want to be in there. Because he's tired of killing his friends. But he can go out and kill people with his little drones. This is what another thing I don't get about this guy. And he claims to be the biggest terrorist killer, but he's friends with all of them. So who's he killing? Well, there's no status of forces agreement with Iraq, which would have kept us, you know, kept more troops in the country, provide a little better security, a little better transition. He asked, hey, can we stay? They said, no, you're out. He did not get, number one, let's get this squared away. First of all, Barack Obama did not get the people out of Iraq. He did not end the war in Iraq. He did not withdraw the troops in Iraq. Iraq withdrew the troops in Iraq. Obama said, can I stay? Iraq said, no, get out. He said, all right, goodbye. They didn't fight it. Iraq got the United States out of Iraq, but not the president. And Hillary Clinton didn't have anything to do with it. But that's number one. She had nothing to do with it. She had no talks with any of these people in the Middle East. She barely even went to the Middle East. And when she did, she just gave a little speech and went home. When she didn't have any active role in the Middle East. And then you got that idiotic spins woman, Jen Psaki, put in a statement just yesterday. She says, our assistance enables Iraq to combat ISIS. That's the Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And they fight in Iraq and Syria, the ISIS. Our assistance enables Iraq to combat ISIS, I guess you might say, on front lines, where hundreds of Iraqi security force personnel have been killed and injured in that fight this year. This woman is an idiot. She's brain damaged. None of these people, do these people even talk to each other? Does anybody understand what any other department does? You can't. Why? Well, because there's far too many departments. And every one of them is the most special department. And they're all incompetent. And I'm sick and tired of this government embarrassing me and putting my life deeper and deeper in danger. For what? So they can win another election. As long as they spin it right and they win the election, everything's going to be fine. Well, Ernest, that's his name, Josh Ernest. He says, well, we are concerned about how the security situation in Mosul has been deteriorated. Deteriorated is not really a word I would use. They've been toppled. They're under the Al-Qaeda control now. So you want to put that down as another accomplishment Hillary did? She doesn't have any accomplishments, and neither does anybody in this administration. Nobody in this administration. President Obama has no accomplishments. Every one of his so-called accomplishments have been failures. And he didn't pay the price for it. The American people are paying the price for it. And we need to put an end to it. And speaking of putting an end to things, we got to turn this ship around and head back into port. We've only got a couple of minutes left here. I want to thank everybody that was listening here tonight. Looks like we got Igmom, Smokey, Doc was in here for a little while, looks like. Gulf Dogs was in here for a while. I want to thank everybody listening on their smartphones. Holger looks like was here for a while. On your smartphones and those you're going to download later. Thanks for listening. We will see you back here tomorrow night at 8. Goodbye, everybody.